We open our Bibles tonight and turn in the Word of God to John 21. John's Gospel account, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Now verses 15 through 18 will make up our text tonight. I'm not going to read those verses again. 15 through 18. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth this disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and saith, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then with this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. As we mentioned, our text this evening is found in verses 15 through 18 of this chapter. Of all the appearances of Christ after his resurrection, the one before us tonight, in my estimation anyway, is the most heartwarming of them all. Up to this point, Peter had no doubt been left to wonder. Not now concerning his personal forgiveness, because as we learned this morning, he received that of Jesus Christ. But would Christ include him, together with the other disciples, in the work of his church? He had received the message from the women, including a reference to him specifically. Christ had appeared to Peter personally, but still in the back of Peter's mind and heart must have been the question, even though I am personally forgiven of my Lord, will I be numbered now yet among the other 10 disciples or the 11 disciples, and will I be involved in the work that Jesus now will send us to do? That Peter was still a leader among the disciples is not a question. Once again, as we pointed out this morning, while they were waiting, Peter's mind returned to his former work of fishing, and he said to the other disciples, I go a-fishing, and the other disciples followed Peter, and they said, yes, we're going to go with you. But that Peter and the other disciples could not do anything apart from Jesus Christ now at this point became evident in the events that take place while they were fishing on that Sea of Galilee. It seems that they had fished all night, and they had not caught any fishes. Immediately, there is something quite familiar about this particular account before us. The amazing catch of fishes. If you recall, when Jesus first called his disciples to follow him, this same type of event had taken place. They were out on the Sea of Galilee and they could not catch any fish. Jesus told them to throw their nets on the other side of the boat, that they did, and they caught the fish. And Jesus applied that rather readily by saying, you were fishers of men, or fishers of fish, now I will make you fishers of men. The same thing now happens. They cast their nets on one side of the boat, couldn't catch fish, and now they cast them on the other side. And this is an indication, of course, that Jesus was now calling them not simply to be disciples of him and followers of him, but that now he was going to send them forth as his ambassadors to be fishers of men on his behalf. In other words, now they would not be the disciples of an earthly Savior, but of a risen and ascended Lord. That in the first place is of particular interest in this account. What is of particular interest too, however, is another similarity between the scene of this chapter and a different scene. Jesus had built a fire, and he had asked his disciples all to gather around that fire together with him. Among those gathered around the fire was Peter. And if you recall, Peter had also gathered around another fire. And that was on the night that he betrayed Jesus in the courtyard of Caiaphas. There he had gathered around a fire with unbelievers. Now he was gathered around a fire with his fellow believers. And just as he had denied Jesus 3 times at that former fire, now Christ calls him to confess his name publicly before his disciples at this particular fire. So this appearance of Christ had its significance, or in other words, there is an important feature to this event of Christ's appearance after his resurrection. It was meant, first of all, to lead Peter back to the assurance that God, or that Christ, definitely would have a work for Peter to perform, and he would give Peter his place among the disciples. And then secondly, it was meant to call all of those disciples, as well as the Church of Jesus Christ today, to their particular, or to its particular work in Christ's kingdom. Both of these thoughts we're going to examine tonight. Consider with me tonight Peter's call to feed Jesus' sheep. Peter's call to feed Jesus' sheep. In the first place, we want to consider Peter's restoration. Secondly, his call. And then finally, his end. Jesus was himself truly a shepherd. And Peter was one of Jesus' sheep. This becomes evident in how Jesus now deals with this particular sheep of his pasture and how he restores Peter. Jesus asks Peter three different times if Peter loved him. Before entering into these three questions, we ought to notice, however, a few things about them in general. In the first place, do not fail to observe that there are indeed three times that Jesus asks Peter if he loves him. Three times. That was not arbitrary on the part of Jesus. Jesus wanted to bring before Peter the horrible realization that he, Peter, had denied Jesus three different times. Jesus had Peter distinctly, Jesus had told Peter distinctly when Peter was boasting of his faithfulness to Jesus and how he would defend Jesus to the end, Jesus had told him distinctly, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And there's no doubt about it that now with these three questions, that was right before the mind of this apostle. In the second place, we must not think that these questions are mere repetitions of the same question. Lovest thou me? In our English language, they come off that way, but that is not the case. And when we get to the individual questions that Jesus asks Peter, we're going to take particular note of a certain development in those questions that dig deeper and deeper into the heart of Peter, meant to extract from Peter's heart the sin that characterized him in his denial of Jesus. So these questions were painful. And each one of them meant to reveal to Peter that in order to follow Jesus, one must swallow his earthly pride, must deny his own strength, and must look to Jesus for all of his strength. That in the second place. In the third place, we must realize the motive of Jesus in these questions. He definitely meant to prick the heart of Peter. He meant to smite the conscience of this disciple. Jesus did not mean at this point to be easy on Peter. Peter had sinned. Peter had to be led to a deep understanding of his sin, a sin that was rooted in the sinfulness of his very character, his nature, that he looked for or to himself for his own strength. And then Jesus had to lead him as well to a knowledge of the forgiveness of that sin that he had committed. But though these questions were meant to prick the heart of Peter, we must also realize that Jesus loved Peter. And when he pricked the heart of Peter, it was not meant to destroy Peter by means of these questions, but was meant ultimately to strengthen him. That's how deeply Jesus loved this particular sheep of his fold. He was going to use Peter in some mighty ways in the future. And Peter had to learn at this point that he relied entirely upon Jesus Christ for his leading. You and I are no different than the Apostle Peter either. And when Peter is asked these questions by Jesus, you and I can look into our own hearts and understand exactly what Peter felt while Jesus was asking him these questions. Certainly sin was not something that Jesus glossed over as if it didn't mean anything. So that in the third place. Okay, question one. As recorded for us in verse 15 of our text tonight. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's the first question. And one cannot help but notice already in this first question how Jesus addressed Peter. He did not use the name Peter. John does. In fact, whenever John refers to Peter, he refers to him using the name Simon Peter, always. But Jesus doesn't use the name Peter here. If you recall, that name Cephas or Peter was something that Jesus saw in this disciple, in Simon, that spoke something of his character. And it was also this particular name that he used in addressing Peter when Peter made the confession that he did, that we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that's not the name that Jesus uses to address this disciple here. Simon is common name. Simon, thou son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? By that question, Jesus did not mean to ask Peter this. Peter, do you love me more than you love the other disciples? That's not what Jesus was asking. Jesus was asking this. Peter, do you think you love me more than the other disciples love me? Do you think you love me more than these other disciples love me? Here's what Peter had boasted on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He had boasted that if all of the other disciples would be offended by Jesus, as Jesus claimed they would, that he would not be one who was offended. In other words, oh, all of these other disciples here would be offended by thee. Nevertheless, I'm not going to be offended ever by you. That was Peter's boast. So Jesus asks Peter the question pointedly, Simon, is your love for me greater than their love for me? Peter's answer was quiet and contemplative. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Yes, I love thee. Not necessarily did Peter mean by that more than these, but you know I love you. Thou art Lord of heaven and earth. Thou knowest the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. Thou knowest, Lord, that I love you. Just how humble of an answer that Peter now gave to Jesus, we will contemplate when Peter is asked the third time, do you love me? But there was his first confession, huh? Yes, Lord, I love you. Second question Jesus asks Peter is recorded for us now in verse 16, very next verse. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? This time he didn't add, do you love me more than these? This time he asks Peter point blank, Peter, do you love me? He does not want Peter to compare himself to anyone else anymore. Now he wants Peter to examine his own heart. Do you really love me, Peter? Look at your heart. Yes, I am Lord. I know your heart. I know your heart better than what you know your heart, Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Peter, no doubt, was rather uneasy with this question. And in the past, Peter would have vehemently argued with Jesus and said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I would be willing to die for you. But Peter doesn't defend himself this time when Jesus asks the question. And again, humbly, he said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter could not deny what he felt about Jesus Christ. He loved Jesus. And he knew that Jesus knew that he loved him too. He may have sinned, but there was still in his heart, after all, this certain affection, this certain admiration, this certain desire after his Lord. He loved Jesus. Yea, Lord, I believe I do love you. Confession number two, where he had denied Christ two times before the cock crew the first time. Now he had confessed Jesus Christ and his love for Christ. We read the third question now that Jesus asked Simon in verse 15 of our text. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, at first glance, it looks as if he repeats exactly the same question that he had questioned Jesus or Peter with the second question that he had asked. But here's where our English translations, beloved saints, are just a little bit weak. Because you see, in our English language, we have this one word that we use for love. But in the Greek language, there's two words. The one word for love is stronger than the other. It expresses a more deeply rooted, solid love, while the other denotes love more from the point of view of affection toward or a desire after another. The stronger term denotes affection as well, but that affection as it is rooted in knowledge and in understanding another, a love that has purpose, a love that has direction, and therefore a love that is not too easily swayed, a love that doesn't change. The weaker term is used to describe more of a personal liking or a natural attraction, which is rooted more in the feelings more than in knowledge, and which therefore can be rather flip-floppy, could change here and there. Now we make a point of that because these two words are actually used interchangeably in the questions and in the answers that are given here. They are used both by Christ and Peter, and that really does not show itself until it reaches this last question that is asked of Peter. Here's how it worked. In the first two questions, Jesus asked Peter, Simon, do you love me with this strong, firmly rooted love that knows me as your Savior and is committed to me? So humbled was Peter by his sin that he could answer the Lord only in this way. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a natural affection and a desire that I have toward you. Wasn't quite willing to say that it was a strong, unchangeable, committed love that he had for Jesus. Not that he didn't have it. Peter doubted it at this point. And he wasn't quite willing to say that without coming off as pride. Jesus knew his heart. Did he really have that? So he answered in effect, yes, I feel a love toward you. Well, with this third question, and again, that doesn't appear in our own translations, Jesus asks Peter, Simon, do you even have that natural affection toward me? Oh. He was grieved by that third question that Jesus asked. Not just simply because it seemed that Jesus was being persistent in asking him these questions, but because now Jesus went to the root of his heart and said, Peter, do you even have that natural affection toward me? And Peter answered, Lord, you know all things. You know that I have that love for you. Humble confession, again, that Peter makes. I dare not say that I have that binding love that's rooted in knowledge in an unalterable way because I know what I did. I said I loved you before, and then I denied you three times. I don't dare say that, but you do know. You do know, Lord, that I love you. Restored. Peter was sufficiently humbled by Jesus Christ by means of these questions. It did hurt. I don't think those questions didn't hurt Peter when he was asked of them. But through all of that hurt and pain, Christ had now restored Peter. Indeed, though Peter did not dare to confess that strong, unalterable love of faith for Jesus Christ, he had that strong faith in Jesus Christ. He did. That assurance which Peter had now received through this way of self-examination, Jesus confirms. And he confirms that now by means of the calling that Christ gave to Peter. After all three questions and answers, Jesus made this striking remark to Peter. If that's true, that you love me, like you say, feed my sheep. That was the call of Christ to Peter, and once again in Peter now to all of the disciples, calling him to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. No longer just a follower of Jesus Christ, but by means of this call, Peter could learn and did learn that Christ was going to use him together with the other disciples and that they now were going to go forth as official ambassadors of Jesus Christ himself to bring the gospel of the cross to others. From now on, they were sent out by Christ. They were sent to his people, and they were sent to the nations of this world as well, officially by Christ, powerfully, and with the authority of Christ now, they were going to go forth. First time, when they had that catch of fishes, they were just called to be disciples. This time, with the catch of fishes, they were called by Jesus Christ to be the apostles of the church, on whom Christ would build his church. And the particular calling they were to perform with respect to Christ's church was this: feed Christ's sheep. That's your calling. Notice, beloved saints, the members of Christ's church are his sheep. Feed my sheep. You and I, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ in this world, are Christ's sheep. Not the apostles' sheep, not somebody else's sheep. They're Christ's sheep. Christ is the great shepherd of the church, and we are his flock. We are the sheep and the flock of his pasture. And he is the one, Jesus Christ himself, who feeds his sheep. And yet there was a reality involved in all of this, wasn't there? Christ had died. Christ had now risen from the dead. And soon Christ was going to ascend into heaven. So that though for a span of about 3 years Christ walked among his sheep and himself personally fed his sheep by means of the instruction of his own voice, and though his sheep followed him while he walked upon the face of this earth, that wasn't going to be true anymore. Christ was going to leave. Christ was soon to ascend into heaven, and he would no longer be here on earth. Wouldn't be here. And that's why the instruction now that was given, in particular to the apostles, and through them to the Church of Jesus Christ in this world, in her offices. You're going to be my under-shepherds who will go forth on my behalf, and my calling to you is feed my sheep. Take care of them. Really, that word feed isn't just feed, it's shepherd my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Nurture them. Admonish them. Poke them if you have to keep them inside the flock. But feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. But there is more than just this call that was issued at this time too. Jesus also explains what it is to which he calls his disciples. And again, this can be found in the three statements Jesus made to Peter. First, he tells Peter, feed or nourish or shepherd my lambs. Secondly, he tells Peter, feed or shepherd my sheep. And then thirdly, he tells Peter, I want you to feed my little sheep. And that doesn't appear either in our English translations. So there's a certain development of thought in the answers each time he gives to Peter when Peter confesses his love for Jesus as well. But that is indeed the calling of the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. The apostles, beginning with the apostles, and then in all of the offices of the church, the office of pastor as well as elder, the calling of the church is to feed the sheep of Jesus Christ that are among them. And Peter, having received that particular call from Jesus Christ himself, could in turn say this to the elders of the church, the elders which are in 1 Peter 5, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. There you have it. He passes on the calling that Christ gave to him, to the elders and to the pastors and teachers in the church. So the call that Christ gives to Peter in particular, he gives to all of the apostles, and through them he gives to the Church of Jesus Christ in this world. Feed my lambs. I like that. I like that. Very first thing that he tells Peter is this: feed the children of my church. That's something sad that has taken place in the church world of today. We find in the church world of today that the emphasis is placed on always reaching out. You got to go out. Everybody has to be a mini missionary and has to go out and has to reach the or speak the gospel to everybody outside the church. And so busy is the church oftentimes, even in her offices, that the very thing that Jesus now commands the church to do is neglected. Feed the children of the church. You want the church to grow? Then it will grow in your generations when you feed the lambs. Feed the lambs. And how necessary that is for the Church of Jesus Christ today. It's something that Jesus himself took seriously. When his disciples would have rebuked him from taking little children on his lap and blessing them, Jesus rebuked them and said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. He took those little children of Israel and he put them on his lap and he blessed those children. What a godly, or what a good example that you and I receive from our good shepherd. The elders and the pastors and teachers of the church ought to have a profound love for the children of the church. They're my sheep. They're my lambs. And the elders and the pastor ought to love the lambs of the church and ought to expend themselves as well in teaching them and loving them and showing their care for them. Not stand in some kind of an ivory palace acting as if he's so far removed from the congregation and far removed from children in the church, but being willing to sit down with children and talk to them and laugh with them and lead them to Jesus Christ. That's a pastor's calling in the church, and that's the calling that he gave to Peter, feed my lambs, very first calling. Second time when Peter confirmed his love for Jesus, Jesus gave to him the commandment, love my sheep or feed my sheep. And that too is the calling of the Church of Jesus Christ today. You feed the sheep, and you do that by means of feeding to them the Word of God. Through the preaching of God's Word, you nurture and care for and admonish and lead, and you direct the sheep, the flock of Jesus Christ in this world. That's my command to you, apostles, first of all. That's what I want you to do. That's something that you must pass along to those who hold the offices of elder and teacher or preacher in the church. Feed the sheep. Again, sad thing that we see happening in the church world today, where they feel that the preaching of the gospel now is no longer necessary. Push it to the side. Fill your worship services with all kinds of other things, musical groups, people standing up before church and giving their testimony, clapping and laughing together in the church, trying to exercise themselves to the degree that everyone can start speaking in tongues, babbling in my estimation, but speaking in tongues in the church. That's not the command that Christ gives to the apostles. It's not the command that he gives to the Church of Jesus Christ. Feed my sheep! Know why you sit here for so long, children in church? 45 minutes sermon? Because that's the command that Jesus Christ gives to the church. That's how we feed the sheep. And that's how we feed the lambs, too, of the Church of Jesus Christ, through the preaching of the Word of God. Feed them the Word of God. And feed them because Christ loves his sheep. Don't neglect my sheep. Every young candidate that's called into the ministry ought to remember that particular word. Your job, feed the sheep. That's all. Very simple. Very simple. Not an easy calling, but a very simple calling. Then, of course, that third time where Jesus emphasizes once again, feed my little sheep. Don't fear, little flock, Jesus told his disciples when he left them. And that's a term of endearment, my little sheep. And once again, that only emphasizes the fact that we are called upon as a Church of Jesus Christ in her offices to feed someone and something, the church, that's very, very dear to Christ. And that's the sheep. Don't neglect the sheep. They belong to Christ. And all the time that one feeds the sheep, he is called upon to follow Christ. Now, I realize that that's not a part of our text tonight, but you cannot help but see that in verse 19 of the chapter that we're considering, what Jesus said also. This spake Jesus, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken all of these things, he said to them, follow me. That's the only way that we can feed Christ's sheep. Peter, you want to feed my sheep? I'm calling you to feed my sheep. The only way that you're going to feed my sheep, Peter, is not to follow after your own whims and wishes now. You feed my sheep by following me. I am the good shepherd of my sheep. And my under-shepherds that I send forth now into the church of Jesus Christ to feed the flock of Jesus Christ among them, those under-shepherds better be following me. Following me. I think Christ led Peter through all that he did exactly so that Peter knew what he was going to do from this point on in his ministry. He wasn't going to follow his own strength and his own pride anymore. He had been humbled far too low. He was going to follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, one can properly feed the sheep of Jesus Christ too. Good reminder to a pastor that if that pastor in feeding his sheep is not leading them to the cross of Jesus Christ in his preaching and in his work, he's not following Christ. He's called upon in every sermon. He's called upon in his teaching in the catechism room. He's called upon when he goes from home to home, always to lead the flock to Christ. The realization of their own sins, the realization of their need for the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus now adds in his instruction to Peter the words of verse 18 of our text. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. That's a beautiful word that calls attention to what was true of Peter when he was young and what would be true of Peter now after the call that Christ had given him at this point. Jesus calls attention to the fact that Peter followed his own will and his own strength when he was young. That is, when he was a foolish disciple of Jesus, before he had fallen into the way of sin. He was foolish, and he clothed himself and followed himself whither he wanted to go, and Christ could follow him. Well, Jesus says, now that you're old, having gone through all of these hard knocks in your discipleship, now that you are old, I am going to send you to places where you would rather not go. Peter had been led out of his youth. He now had been led into maturity as a believer. He wasn't young and foolish. So now, Peter, now that you are old, now that you have matured in your faith and calling in life, you are not going to go wherever you please anymore. You're going to go where I send you. You will hold out your arms in willing acceptance to me, to be led by me and sent by me where I want you to go. And you will be clothed, not by yourself anymore. You're going to be clothed by me, and I will send you out. Peter would now be led by Christ to do some fantastic, but some very difficult work as an apostle. And our catechism students in juniors and seniors class know exactly some of the hardships that Peter went through, especially at first when the persecution of the church was taking place. How many times wasn't he thrown in prison, once threatened to have his head cut off like his fellow disciple James? Wasn't an easy way that Peter had to go, but God used him mightily in all of his ministry, and he was willing. He was willing to go out now. He had been prepared. Hard school of Knocks, he had been prepared. And now Christ could send out a willing servant who was going to go out and do Christ's will for him, even if it meant persecution, and even if it meant he had to die for Christ's sake. Many of the disciples were martyred. Some of them were exiled. Well, one of them was exiled, all for the sake of the gospel that they preached. In fact, tradition tells us that Peter himself was crucified on a cross, just like Jesus, except for the fact that Peter didn't feel worthy to be crucified in exactly the same way that his Lord was, so he asked to be hung upside down on his cross. Tradition. But was willing to die for his Lord. In all the suffering and in the death that Peter experienced in his life for Christ's sake, he rejoiced. He who had stumbled and who had fallen so hard had been restored to his place among the disciples, and he was a rock. God give his church preachers of that sort in these last days of our world, who will zealously preach the gospel and feed the church of Jesus Christ in season and out of season for Christ's sake and for the sake of Christ's sheep. Peter. Yes. Peter. How he loved that man. Because he is so much like we are. Too quick to trust in self. Just as we do. But a man who loved his Savior, and a man who was faithful to Jesus Christ, even unto death. We thank God for that man. And may we, as Peter now, be faithful unto the cause of Jesus Christ, even unto death. Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are thankful unto thee that thou dost give unto us the example of a godly man, the Apostle Peter, that in this season of the year we might have been able to contemplate also Peter and his place in the work of the church. We ask that we might be faithful unto the cause of thy kingdom, and that we might willingly hold out our hands unto thee too and be led by thee. May the Church of Jesus Christ, where we are members, be faithful unto thee. And wilt thou raise up pastors and teachers in the midst of thy church, and elders who love the lambs, who love thy sheep, and who are willing to expend themselves on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ. We know of our own weaknesses and sins, Father. We pray that thou wilt graciously forgive us of them. Go with us too, that we might carry thy word with us in all that we do. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen.